Hi guys, welcome back to the Nevermind Poly Podcast. My name is Matt, I'm your host, and we chat to rock and metal bands from around the world. This particular episode is a little bonus episode, if you like. We, as in me and Rebecca. Hello, Rebecca, how are you?
I'm good. We're home now.
Yes, so for those who follow us on Instagram and whatnot, Rebecca is my long-term, long-distance partner. She lives up in the north of England. I live in the East Anglian area of England. Anyway, it doesn't matter. Anyway, 200 miles apart. We've been together for all week and we waited until we were back in our respective homes to do this podcast because that's the way we roll. Anyway, Monday, Halloween, 31st of October, we went to go and see Bury Tomorrow, August Burns Red, and support from Novelists. That is obviously why we're here today. But first of all, it's been a hot minute since you've been on the podcast. It won't be for those that have listened, but it has in actual real time. How was your time down in here in East Anglia? How was it? Was it okay?
Yes, it was really good. Really good. Yeah, nice time.
I have had the longest day. I'm going to call out every train company like who decided to do a fucking strike this week. And I get it. I understand, you know, pay conditions, all that stuff is all important. You have your right to protest. And I understand that, but for fuck's sake, it doesn't make things difficult. The only reason I say this is because I've had to drive 400 miles today, going from mine up to Barnsley and back, and I'm dead. But two reasons to do this podcast. Firstly, the Bury Tomorrow gig, because it was great. Hashtag spoiler. Secondly, we are days away from the Download Festival being announced officially. There's a supposed leak online, so we're going to be recording that straight after this podcast. And if you hear that podcast, then it was officially a leak. If not, we'll have to re-record it, and it was all for nothing. So in any case, we thought we'd do a little podcast about the Bury Tomorrow August Burns Red gig with Novelist as support. Anyway, it was in Norwich. It was on Halloween. And I've been going to gigs in Norwich since I was 14. I'm no longer 14. I'm quite considerably older than 14, obviously. And I've seen many bands and many shows pass through the LCR, UEA LCR. But it was your first time. So how did you find your first gig experience in Norwich?
It was very good. It was very, 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 very good. Yeah, it was good.
Awesome stuff. So the first band on the bill, the only kind of opening band, because it was kind of funny when this tour got announced and then rescheduled and then announced and COVID-related bollocks. It was originally billed as Bury Tomorrow, August Burns Red, Miss May I, and another band who I've forgotten. Doesn't matter, they weren't there. Anyway, so initially we were quite hyped about this show, weren't we? When it first got announced as, you know, Bury Tomorrow, August Burns Red, and Miss May I, we thought, yeah, this is going to be a fucking sick night out. So, and you were really looking forward to Miss May I playing, weren't you?
Yeah, because I haven't seen them since 2014 when they played Download. I think they opened, I could be wrong, I think they opened the stage up on the first day of music, I believe, I remember, I think. But yeah, I haven't seen them since then.
I have also seen Miss May I at Download, and I think I saw them in 2018, I want to say. Again, people who love Download will be like, no, it was 2020, ah! And get all angsty on my ass.
Well, Download gets quite repetitive with their lineup, so that's why
we're gonna potentially listen to this.
Sorry, Download, but it's true.
Listen to this. That's on it. We're gonna be talking about potential Download stuff later. Anyway, that's besides the point. So yeah, Miss May I were originally billed. They pulled out and got replaced with the band Novelist. I know nothing about this band. Did you know anything about this band prior to going
in? I've heard the name before, but I've never heard the music before, but I have heard of the band Novelist.
Mm-hmm. Cool. Yeah. For sure. Novelist were a very good, very fine, completely run of the mill, 6 out of 10. Five and a half out of five or whatever in every magazine kind of band. they were fine. They done the job of hyping the crowd up for essentially the main band. One thing I will say about Novelist, which I found very kind of strange, and it wasn't until after the fact. So basically, the actual vocalist of the band who we saw at Norwich wasn't the vocalist at all. Is that right? Because you know a bit more about this than me.
Yeah, I can't remember. I don't know, because he actually said it, didn't say there was something that happened. I don't know what happened, but
yeah, so we don't quite know what actually happened, but they basically didn't have their front person who originally sings the songs. So I'm not sure whether this guy was a replacement stand-in or if he was like a former member or something. I don't quite know who the front person we saw. I mean, don't get me wrong, he was very accomplished. He was doing all the right things. It was a very passionate performance. And one thing I will say about Novelist is they struggled to me at least, to kind of understand what they were trying to be. Because there was elements of like really cool guitar work, like where it's like actually had like proper full-on guitar solos, like kind of techie guitar solos. And I was like,
yeah,
well, this is kind of cool. And then it went to like this really basic like B-Tech fucking metalcore, and it was kind of like, I don't quite know what you're trying to do. It was very strange to watch them, but you know what? One thing I will say is they had a Novelist had a projection light thing behind them, which like had their logo and stuff. I thought that was very cool. I thought that was a very cool class.
Yeah, we took some videos, didn't we, and posted them on social media. But it was like 1 minute it'd be white, then it'd be red, and then it'd like flash, like it, yeah, like and, on and off. It was really good.
And you know what? That probably sounds really shit as us describing what it was, but it did bring something to their show, which I thought otherwise would have been just a quite mediocre metalcore band performing metalcore songs with some really sick guitar riffs, to be fair. Like the guitarists are well accomplished, and I feel like they probably need to be in a more accomplished band, maybe. Don't know. Just one man's opinion. But we weren't really there for Novelist, so you know they were fine. At a 10 score, you'd give Novelist?
Probably give them a 6 or a 7. I quite enjoyed them.
Okay, cool. So 6 or 7 from Rebecca. I'm going to go for, as I say, 5.5 out of 10. Real middle of the road, but perfectly fine as well. You know, nothing exciting, but nothing bad either. So August Burns Red were it's so weird. So they are in Europe. They kind of billed as this dual headliner. But I think the night that we saw them, it kind of felt a little bit like they were the headliner as opposed to Bury Tomorrow, which we will get to the reasons behind that in a moment. God, that was very posh, Matt. In a moment.
In a bit, exactly.
August Burns Red, the last time they played Norwich was 2009 in that room, when they opened for Bring Me the Horizon and A Day to Remember. So that was how long ago that was since they last played in Norwich. And I am a big fan of August Burns Red. I have been for a very long time, and just really fucking good. What was your first kind of experiences of August Burns Red? What did you first think? And don't spoil the beginning of the set, which we're going to talk about in a second.
I was just about to mention that. I'm glad you said that. Amazing. I'm really glad, because obviously they're dual headliners, so they got the same amount of time as Bury Tomorrow, but
they were supposed to.
I love Bury Tomorrow, but I think August Burns Red kicked ass.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that is one thing that I think dual headliners work really well, or can work really well, in certain scenarios. So the co-headliner that springs to mind that's just happened really recently in London is the co-heading Cambria and Thrice dual headliner. Now, most people wouldn't put those two bands together in terms of stylings, but putting together a metalcore bill of August Burns Red, Bury Tomorrow and Miss May I makes perfect fucking sense. And do you know what? One thing I will say as well, the ticket price cost us like 21 quid, I think it was.
I think you're 20, tw- yeah, about 21, yeah, 20, yeah, 2022, round about, yeah, about 22 quid it cost us. Really cheap.
It was a really cheap night out. And again, it was a Monday. So I feel like there was a little bit less of an attendance maybe than what there could have been. But I thought that was, you know, by to by. Anyway. August Burns Red. Fucking great. But August Burns Red, I have to pull you up on one thing. And that is the fucking strangest opening
I was confused
ever seen to a set list, right? So let me just, before we like go ahead real quick, right? I'm just going to pull up August Burns Red on Wikipedia, just so I can really hammer home my point. August Burns Red. Just talk amongst yourself just 2 seconds. So, August Burns.
It was very strange.
They've been around since 2003, right? In terms of discography, they have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 studio records to date. Why the absolute fuck are you opening with Chop Suey by System of a Down?
And not just a little bit, the entire song.
Right. So I have a bit of a thing with this, right? If you've got 9 records in which to choose your track set list from, why the fuck are you doing that? It's so bizarre. I mean, so for those who weren't at the gig or have not yet seen this show, basically the lights will go out as you expect for when the headline band come on, or any band come on for that matter. And Chop Suey starts playing over the PA. Now, this is not unheard of. Like, for example, Green Day always do it. They always play the Ramones' Bits Pop Creek. Hey, ho, let's go before they come on. Like, that's fine. You know, nothing against that. Metallica always have Ecstasy of Gold before they come on. Like, nothing wrong with that. Maiden do it. Like, everybody does it. It's not a problem. But what you don't do, or what you at least you don't see them do, is then come on and perform that song that's just been playing through the PA. It was the fucking weirdest opening to any gig. So, like, it started playing, and I was like, okay, cool. Like, hype music for the band. Yeah, cool.
I turned round at you and was like, what? What is happening? Are we getting System of a Down instead? What's happening? So
the thing that made me laugh, obviously that song is synonymous with, you know, every rock fucking human being and metal human being, right? So you'll know the bit, I don't think you trust in, and that Angels Deserve to Die, obviously it's the and they go, you know, anyway, I don't need to sing you Chop Suey to understand what I'm trying to refer to. Anyway, as he does the Angels Deserve to Die bit, the band literally, and I mean literally, run on stage like, and they just start playing Chop Suey, which is so fucking bizarre. So fucking bizarre. And to be honest, I don't think it was a very good rendition of it anyway.
But other people were like looking as well as to say, what's going off? Like the people behind us, I was looking, there was a girl and she was like, like, it's not just me then. I was like, I've never seen System of a Down live before. Like, but I was just like,
it was like, very, very strange. It was like, it was
just turn around, there's just this girl like,
I don't quite understand. Anyway, as I say, that aside, August Burns Red were very, very good, very, very technically brilliant as well, as you know, had a lot of stage charisma. Didn't do that much talking during their songs, which was a nice change, because a lot of bands seem to waste a lot of time, in my opinion, just shattering shit during their set. You know, like, fair enough, yeah, thanks for coming out, da, 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 that's fine, I'm okay with that, but you know, there's a lot of chat normally between songs and I'm like, oh, just shut the fuck up and play your songs. Anyway, they played, for me personally, they played the most amount of songs to play was from Constellations, Guardians, a couple of songs off Messengers, and then a couple of the other songs. So the main songs they kind of played was Marilyn's Trenches, Meddler, Whitewashed, and then for me personally, Composure and Backburn. Backburner was fantastic. Yeah, really, really great. Really, really great.
And I have my own little spot
You did. So for those who don't follow us on social media or don't know Rebecca in real life or anything like that, Rebecca is 5 foot nothing. No, she's not that small, but she's a very small human being. She's very small. So, and me being the absolute terrible gig goer slash boyfriend slash human being, I needed to take a piss, basically.
I got a good view for the Novelist, got a complete amazing view.
So we had the brilliant view for Novelist with no one like around us. And then I just went to, I really need to take a piss. And you were like, well, you just turned to me and was like, really? Fucking really? And I was like, I'm sorry, I need to wee. So we had to leave said spot and relieve myself. And then you couldn't get back to where you were and you couldn't see for like the first two songs and you got very annoyed at me. But the UEA is this kind of weird venue. It's basically like a square with a stage at the front, which is pretty normal when you think about it. But at the very left-hand side, there's like padded seating, but not really like advertising, just padded like seats where the windows are. And people generally stand on that and then you get a pretty decent view of the stage. So that's what we did. And you had a lovely time. You were very happy.
Yeah, if you can go follow Matt on TikTok, there's a TikTok of me on there, and Matt with a lovely caption. When you are a short person at a metal gig, I think you did the caption for it.
I did. It was very funny.
And this
thanks
is me.
Thanks for the shout out on TikTok as well. Right. So Bury fucking tomorrow. How do you feel about Bury Tomorrow before I go on my whole shtick about Bury Tomorrow? How do you feel about them as a band?
Yeah. Really good.
Really good?
Really good. Yeah. And I think it's my third time seeing them. I know it's definitely my second if it's not my third. I saw them at Bloodstock. But I'm pretty sure that was my third time seeing them. Mm-hmm. First time at their own gig, because at the time I've seen them at festivals, I'm pretty damn sure it's my third time I've seen them live.
For sure. This is probably my fifth, sixth, maybe even seventh time I've seen Bury Tomorrow. Bury Tomorrow they're falling very much into that camp of bands where I put people like Skindred, who are a brilliant example of this. I'm trying to think of other bands who I see quite regularly, who play quite regularly, like on festival bills and things like that. They're just always, Beartooth or another band, are just like, are really always just a solid fucking band. Like, always bring out the bangers, always bring out the good vibes, just a really good, reliable band, both on record and, live as well. So, yeah, £22 ticket, August Burns Red, fucking Bury Tomorrow, and a support act. I was like, well, you know what? This is too good to pass up. Bury Tomorrow have been through a couple of lineup changes of late. Obviously, the most biggest one, I guess, was Jason, the guitarist, leaving of Bury Tomorrow. He was like the signature clean vocalist, and they've now got a new guy doing keys and stuff and other random bits and bobs, and he's now the clean vocalist. I thought live they sounded really tight. I thought they were really, really good on Monday night. I thought they were really, really good. One thing I do want to say straight away is there was a lengthy pause after the third song Black Flame was played when a fan was injured. We don't know to what extent or anything like that, but shout out to the security, shout out to the paramedics, shout out to Norwich, like UEA, just for being, and the people in attendance, but it's just being really good. Like, really,
yeah, St. John's Ambulance, weren't it? St. John's Ambulance were the medics there, and they were really good.
Yeah, we don't know whether it was like a mosh pit injury or someone had like a fit or something. We just don't know what the scenario was, but basically everybody was super cool. Like, no, because, you know, like going to a metal show, you get the occasional dickhead who will shout something out. There was none of that, and it was dealt with like both respectively and like really calmly by the band, but it was just good. It was just a good, like, way of dealing with a shitty situation, basically. My criticism of Bury Tomorrow, and it is only a small one, is when Danny from Bury Tomorrow says, we're going to play an old song, and the old song in question is them playing Man on Fire as their old song. It's not really an old song, is it? to be fair, because it doesn't really go far enough back. If you're going to play an old song, I'm expecting like first or second record. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, and they focus very heavily on the newer stuff, which is fine. I've got no problem with that. But that was my only criticism, really. I was like, I just got very excited when they're like, oh, we're playing some old stuff. And I was like, yes, we're going to get like something.
Yeah, they played a lot of the new stuff when we saw them at Bloodstock, though, didn't they? They played a lot of the new stuff.
Yeah, I was expecting something of Union of Crowns, and I was like, yes, let's go. And it just...
Like Lionheart or something.
Exactly, exactly my point. And it was kind of like, huh, okay, fair enough, cool, fair enough. But...
They played Chuck, you know, and, you know. Yeah,
no, absolutely. So the set list for Bury Tomorrow, for those who actually give a shit or whatever... it's Choke the Grey, Black Flames, Cemetery, Life, Abandon Us, Earthbound, The Age, Better Below, Bolt Cutter, Cannibal, and Death. So they got 12 songs. August Burns Red got 12 songs. Yeah, I thought after the incident, shall we say, I thought that Bury Tomorrow were a little bit shaky to begin with. Like maybe the first song after was a little bit kind of like, oh, are we back going? Okay, we're back going again. After that, they were fine, and they were very, very good, very, very talented. Bury Tomorrow are fucking great. We're looking forward to the new record when that drops. And yeah, if anyone knows anybody in the Bury Tomorrow camp, please do hit us up and let us know, because I'd love to have any one of the boys on the podcast. Would be great. Yeah, any parting words, my dear?
No.
I love the
sorry, we're both very tired today.
You just sort of looked at me to say, you looked as if you have to say, you're asking me a question, what is that about? It's all good. Right,
but we are going to do another one straight after this.
We are going to do another one straight after this, which might not even get aired, because if the download leak is incorrect, it might not be leaked. But anyway,
I love to do it all out.
Cool, peace out, everybody.
Bye.
See you very soon. Bye.